Once again, to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Syria Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Miss Melanie of the CandleAndCurioShop.com in Nashville, Tennessee. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi. Thank you, Papa Newt. Now,
You're welcome.
You, people are already going, where's Miss Tammy Lee? And we are always, always happy to have you on the line, Papa Newt. But I just wanted to let our faithful followers know Miss Tammy Lee could not be here today because her mother fell and hurt, broke her hip and had to have surgery. So Miss Tammy Lee is taking care of her mom. And we want to send up a little prayer for Miss Tammy Lee's mother. She's on the road to recovery. Everything is going well. But Miss Tammy Lee could not be here today because, you know, when your mom breaks her hip, you got to rush to her side.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the world works.
Wow.
I say that so my own daughter might fall under the sound of my voice someday. So all blessings to Miss Tammy Lee and her mom. But in the meantime, we're going to have Papa Newt is going to be our announcer. So thank you, Papa Newt. And he's out there in Kansas City. And how are things out in Kansas City these days?
You know, they're going really well. As you know, I'm doing major research on hoodoo that was prevalent in this area back long ago. And also I had the blessed opportunity to meet Mother Rosie, who is an 81-year-old worker, and Miss Cat, amazing. I look forward to going back and just sitting down and helping her out and just talking with her more.
So did you actually did get to meet her?
I did. It was just an amazing experience.
That's wonderful. I noticed Professor Ames is in the chat room, and he was the one who first told me that she was still around and still selling candles, and now since Professor Ames moved out to Colorado, and you've taken his place at the Good Luck Shop there, you are very, very fortunate to be able to spend some time with her. That is
a true blessing.
Yeah, and that is a blessing, and I really hope that you bring some of her style of working into the shop that you all run, which is more eclectic. But that's a woman
mm-hmm.
who can teach you a few things, and maybe even invite her in to, you know, to come in and teach a little bit or do.
Actually,
you know.
we're in the works of doing that, of bringing her in. I'm going to take a day during the week just to go out there to help her out at her shop, and it's just I think this is just a wonderful blessing.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that, Papa Newt. You know, a lot of people think conjure was invented when the internet was invented, and I'm here to tell you it was not. Now you said she's 81, right?
Right.
That's right. See, that's a lady who needs a little help lifting and carrying, right?
Exactly.
And,
wow.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. That's really good to know. I don't want this stuff to be forgotten. And I'm so proud that you, one of my best students and a graduate of my course, have the good sense and the kind heart to go out there and make friends. That's what it's all about, making friends. All right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, how about you, Conjure Man Ollie? How are things down in Southern California?
Oh, things are really good. It's very interesting that Papa Newt said that he's, you know, doing some research, because that's what I've been doing. I'm very busy doing archival research. People know that my day job, I'm a historian. So my house looks like something straight out of a medieval wizard's dungeon. It's got candles everywhere. I'm doing client work here. It's got piles and piles of books. It's got scanned copies of archives as I'm sitting there translating. So it's been a very busy, busy month for me. A great month. You know, I always enjoy February, the month of love. But it has been very busy between client work and all sorts of research. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It's always fun. We Tauruses enjoy being busy and doing 20 different things at once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, up here, up in Northern California, up in Forestville, we're working very, very hard to get things ready for the annual Hoodoo Heritage Festival, May 3rd and 4th. And there is so much going on here, I can't even begin to name it all off. It would take me the whole hour and a half just to tell you what we're doing. But I am working very hard on editing books, and I'm working on Aura LaForest's Hoodoo Bathing and Cleansing book. And this book is dynamite, folks. This book is something else. And we're now running it through the third and final, I hope, proofreading, and it's going to go off to the printer. So that book is in the can, as they say. And very, very nice, beautiful, beautiful book. And we're working on with Miss Michael and Professor Charles Porterfield on the Bible Magic book. And that book is just fantastic. It's also, I've seen Miss Michael's half of it. Charles has come in with a few additional touches, and we're putting together a collaborative effort between the two of them that is truly interesting. And we're hoping to invite other contributors like Miss Melanie, who we know does a lot of Bible magic. She's going to be included in that book too, right, Miss Melanie?
I will.
You will.
I
will. All right.
I will.
We try to get all our friends in on all of our books. Like Papa Newt, we've got some Papa Newt recipes in Aura LaForest book. I mean, we always try to, you know, we try to extend the community and get everyone involved. Nobody just owns one little thing. It's all about what we do and who does it, and who does it best. We give them a little shout-out, and we show their stuff. So that's what I've been doing. Plus, we've been working on the railroad. So I've announced here before that I've been building a, well, let's put it this way, I'm a patron of the arts. I'm not working on the railroad. I'm patronizing the arts.
And,
we have a team now of five people working on the railroad. Nancy Norris of Garden Lines and her grandson Lake. Daniel Smith Woodworking. He's building the trestles. And this is a man, if anybody under the sound of my voice hears and needs a railroad, Daniel Smith, I'll tell you, that man is something. And you can look him up on YouTube, look up Daniel Smith Railroad. You're going to be mind blown. We have Eric Mose, otherwise known as Mo's Trains. He's an electrician. He's the behind-the-scenes man who makes it all happen, because you can't run a model railroad without a source of power. And believe it or not, even if it looks like a steam engine, it's really electrical power, folks. That's our secret. So Eric Mose is doing that. Don Herzog, a retired, he says, a miniature plant nurseryman, is supplying our plants. And Don is absolutely one of the nicest people I've ever met. He has been growing miniature plants right up here where I live, right near us, in a little town called Occidental, for many, many years. He retired. I thought he was out of business. No, by retiring, he meant he was only open by appointment. And he has some incredible train layouts at his place, but he also is supplying all of the little miniature azaleas and little miniature Alberta spruces that are going to dot the landscape. And I've just enjoyed so much working with these talented people. And it's really, it's all coming together. It's going to be open in time for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And Professor Charles Porterfield, who has not been seen at one of our events in a little while, out of seclusion, I wouldn't call it retirement, but I would call it seclusion. Not only is he coming out of seclusion to work on the Bible magic book, but those who know Professor Charles Porterfield know that he is an old railroader and from Texas, and he's going to be engaged in keeping the trains rolling during the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Now, y'all probably think, what the heck is she talking about? But I'm telling you, this is not just about hoodoo. To me, a lot of what I'm doing is representing cultures and ways of life. Shiva just put it in the chat room. The word is Americana. Okay, Americana.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having some Americana happening here on our property, and there'll be photos. Don't worry, we're going to have some photos. All right,
very
I'm going to give a little shout out to all people in the chat room. Papa G, I see there is here, and Hungan Matt is here. Candelo Kambisa is here, and we got Professor Ames, we got Doc Murphy, we got a lot of people here that I know and love. All of them in the chat room, and it's wonderful to see you. Now, we're going to say hello to our guest, and that is
hello.
Melanie. Welcome, Ms. Melanie. So let's start by saying, what have you been up to since the last time you were on the show? Give us a little catch-up on what you've been doing.
Oh, I have been doing a lot of reconciliation work, a lot of baneful magic. And I hate to say baneful magic, but unfortunately I am an Aries, and I do that very well. but only if it's justified, of course. I've been doing a lot of souring jars, break up, a lot of traction work, job work, money work. Yesterday I cleaned out half of my conjure room and found things that I didn't know I had, which was a great surprise. Found things I wondered why I had and had no idea where they came from.
I know that feeling.
I don't know where they came from. But anyway, I was like, what is this? But anyway, so I've been pretty busy down here,
That's good.
Working
and you're
away.
Are you still selling your products on eBay and selling Hoodoo supplies on eBay?
I actually closed my store in December.
Oh.
I know. Reason for that is because eBay, when I did my taxes, I paid eBay a lot of money.
mm-hmm.
Between eBay, the eBay fees. And then the PayPal fees, it was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow. Plus,
So
it kind of...
Are you selling still through your website?
I am getting ready to do that. That's my next project. I was waiting to get out of retrograde for that.
Yeah. Well,
so
as Aida Severini says, that's a shame, Ms. Melanie, because I know that people were... counting on you, and I had wondered about that because I didn't see your listings on eBay, but eBay is not as easy to deal with as people think. I mean, especially if you want to keep on listing small products at small prices, they eat you alive with fees. So I understand that, but I'm looking forward to seeing you get your store set up on your own website. That's the way to go, is you control your own space.
That's what I think. I got to get my stock back up from you and. So I will be selling again.
Okay.
Just on my website.
Well, I know that you got a lot of fans and you built up a lot of goodwill for your shop.
I did.
So
I did.
The Curio and Candle Shop. So just make sure that thing is still around. And of course, people in Tennessee can look you up and they want to be able to come and purchase.
They
Alrighty.
Do, and they do.
Yeah.
They come from. They come from Alabama, Kentucky, to get your supplies, get your oil.
Yeah. Good.
So,
good. All right. Well, that's the thing. We need some representation there in Tennessee, and you're it, baby.
I know, right?
All right. All righty. All right. Well, our panel discussion today, we always do a little bit of this. We talk about what, you know, you just get three people talking conjure together. We're all going to have a different opinion. We're all going to have something to say. So today it's oil lamps. Now, I'm going to preface this like I always start this off by saying the very first a person who posted a lot about oil lamps and then wrote a little flyer for us about oil lamps and got people oil lamp conscious was Professor Porterfield, who's right here in the chat room. And he was an advocate of oil lamps coming out of Texas, out of the old school, and I had learned about them, old school, in Oakland, California. I lived for 15 years with no running water, no electricity out in the Missouri wilderness there, and we used oil lamps regular just to light our homes. But I also was taught before that how to prepare an oil lamp for magical purposes, for hoodoo purposes. So when I got onto the internet, I was surprised to find out that people came from other cultures also used oil lamps. I mean, of course, I knew Jews had used oil lamps, and you know, prior to candles, but I was surprised religions also used oil lamps. And Santeria and things like that. I just didn't know about them. I only knew about Americana, right? And when I met up with Dr. E, he was an oil lamp fanatic too. And so he put on another workshop for us, the second oil lamp workshop we had at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and it was called How to Make a Rustic Oil Lamp. So if you're all interested in oil lamps and in the background, get a hold of a copy of the book called The Black Folder, because in that book we have articles by Professor Porterfield and by the late Dr. E, and we do give some really good basics on there. And Condello out there in the chat room says 21 divisions. That's right, the Dominican 21 divisiones, or however you're going to pronounce that thing, they also use oil lamps. So this is a real interesting way to work. Now, Melanie, you take it away, and you tell us, Miss Melanie, what do you do with oil lamps?
Anything and everything. I love them. Love them. I love the power of them. For me, they have such power because they're not only a container spell, but they're fire magic at the same time. And it's constant heat. It's constant going. Not to mention, you got to love the glow. I love the glow of them. But I have I always have two burning on my Holy Trinity altar for business. And I'm telling you, business goes slow, and in 2 weeks, there it comes. They're great. They're great for love, reconciliation, putting the heel of a sock in one, you know, with some other herbs and love herbs and curios, and putting that dirty heel in there and just keeping it going. And praying over it, you know, that works great. I use the antique. I have an antique collection of oil lamps, and I'm fascinated with them. I have the ones with the back, you know, like the reflection back on them. I have some of those, and then I have a lot of glass, you know, glass ones, the little tiny glass ones, the medium sized glass ones. And then I also have some, you know, that are larger that, you know, that I have bought that, you know, aren't the same quality or the same artistry. You know, there was a different type, you know,
back in the 70s when a lot of people started living off the grid, all of a sudden they started pressing those pressed glass style, these would be kerosene oil lamps. Again, and they were available in every hardware store in America. Now, you can't find them that way anymore, and you'll find them listed on eBay as vintage or antique, but you know what I'm talking about when I say those 1970s pressed glass ones. They're good. They're getting to be old now, too.
Find them in some stores, but it's like you have to really kind of go. I know Walmart sometimes carries them, so you can find them still.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about a specific kind. It's a heavy pressed glass. They were made in America, not in China. They're just a certain – you pick them up and you go, yeah, that's from the 70s. It was a certain style. And those are good, and you can find them if you look around your area where no matter where you live in America, unless you live in a, you know, in a downtown urban area that's wall-to-wall concrete, you'll be able to find those 1970s era – 1980s even, they were making them, oil lamps that are pressed glass, clear pressed glass. Sometimes they'll have a octagonal or hexagonal kind of reservoir. You can find them for anywhere from $25 to $45 used, and that's not a bad price. Now, if you want to go into the antique ones like Ms. Melanie has, now we're talking, well, sky's the limit because they're as beautiful as can be, and they're very old. We're talking ones from the 1890s and so forth.
My husband's grandmother collected them, so I was very fortunate to get her collection. So she had a lot. Yeah, she had a lot that she had even turned into lamps. But unfortunately, you know, I probably could have reverted them back, but I was like, no, I was afraid to. So I have, you know, quite a few of hers that are, you know, like I said, you know, with the reflection. I have two reflection back ones. I have a small one and a big one. And then I even left, I don't use them, those of course. I left the oil in them that she had originally in them. And it's a different oil, I can tell you that. It's not it's not what we have now. You know, she has she had one that had, you know, the red oil in it. And then she has some that just has like a dark maroon oil, and it's a very different oil. But somebody had put on here, how do you keep it from, I think it was Matt, how do you keep it from smoking? How do you control it? And you control it by, that's the wick. If your wick's up too high, you're going to get a lot of smoke. So you have to keep your wick low.
That's the thing.
Keep it from smoking.
If you look at pictures of oil lamps on the internet, like go to Google Images, or if you go to videos of old movies, people always turn the wicks up high because they think it's supposed to smoke. That's part of the romance of it, or the glare of the flame. No. You bring them down as low as you can and trim them. And with a kerosene lamp, there's a burner that's got a little arch on it, and you trim it to fit that arch. You know, with scissors, you just trim the wick, and it'll just be perfect. It should just kiss that right below that level, and it'll be right. All it takes is someone showing you how. Now, you can I'm going to just put another thing in just
here.
Okay, well, hold on. I'm just going to say one more thing. I got here first. people fix the oil lamp. You put all the stuff, the goodies, it's a glass reservoir. Number one, they probably won't get it. But number two, you can also make an oil lamp in a metal farm lantern or railroad lantern that has a metal base. You'll never see what's in that thing, and that'll burn just as nice. They smoke a little bit more than a parlor lamp will, but you can burn those, and they will. Nobody can see inside that thing. If they shook it, they could hear something in it, but they'd never know what was in it. And, of course, you can also make oil lamps in a clay pot. It doesn't, you know, you can use one of those little antique Roman reproductions or those little Israeli clay reproductions. You'll never see what's inside of it. Okay, Ollie, you go.
The ones that everybody rubs for the genie.
That's right. That's right. Uh-oh, did we lose Ollie?
Oh, no, I'm here.
I'm waiting for you.
We have, you know, I use oil lamps quite a bit in the work that I do, and they're all over my house because I have a lot of the reproductions. Middle Eastern lamps, what you jokingly call genie lamps, are actually quite literally gin lamps. And they are all over my house, and I do enjoy them quite a bit. But what I wanted to add is, in addition to the kind of kerosene fluted lamps, those are great and wonderful. I love them because they have that constant heat. But I do enjoy the rustic oil lamps quite a bit as well. And we use oil lamps. I was introduced to oil lamps, the old school lamps, but I didn't pick up the rustic version of the lamp. It's a little bit later on. But I've started to use them, and I enjoy them because of the amount, the dynamic quality that it has. You're able to manipulate it quite a bit because it's open. It's in a jar or it's in a bowl. And what you're able to do is, as the work goes on, you can add different curios and herbs while having the flame going, different condition oils. And this is something that I do when I'm doing long-term cases or long-term works, like a type of reconciliation. I might start off with, you know, trying to influence the person's thoughts. So I might be doing some return to me oil, putting some star anise, and then when they start to come back, then I start to increase the passion, put some ginger, some fires of love, things like that. And I really do enjoy those kind of open lamps. One of my favorite lamp workings is actually a reconciliation lamp, and where I make a doll baby of the person that I then submerge in the oil with a bunch of herbs and curios. And then I create five wicks that I affix to the doll baby, and each one is baptized as a different scent. This is so-and-so's sight, this is so-and-so's hearing, this is so-and-so's nose. And I like each and every one of them so that all five of their senses are drawn back to my client. And I do that with oil lamps, and let me tell you, it works every time. I have yet to have a time where it doesn't work, and it works fast. And that's one of the things I love about oil lamps, is that they, you know, candle magic is great, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. But I don't use a lot of vigil candles in my work. I tend to work a lot more with lamps because they have that hands-on, that earth sign really enjoys that tactile quality of lamps. You manipulate the flame, you manipulate what herbs are in there, what oils even you can use, and you can use a lot more. You're not using a couple drops on a candle. You could put a whole bottle of oil if you want. Not necessary, obviously. And then with those open face lamps, you can use a variety of different containers to manipulate the work too. An oil lamp made in an apple is a beautiful love spell. An oil lamp made in a chamber pot is a great way to curse someone. And the different oils you use, almond oil, you know, olive oil, castor oil, any of these different things will work, and they manipulate the work that you're doing.
Right, right. That reminds me of what you said, an oil lamp and an apple. That's good for love.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a YouTube video that was circulating recently of how to make an oil lamp in a clementine, you know, little mandarin orange skin by using that little stem that's inside the clementine. You use that as the wick. And it's for short term, but what a beautiful way to work. I mean, there's so many ways that you can use a liquid fuel rather than the candle, which is the solid fuel. But the two styles kind of run together, because the vigil lamp is kind of halfway between. It's almost liquid wax, but not quite. It's almost an oil. But as it in hot weather or as you burn it, it will liquefy at the top, and it essentially is an oil lamp at the top of a pillar of unmelted wax. But so people who say, I don't know, I'm so used to candles, freestanding candles are very solid, but a vigil light is essentially kind of an oil lamp. I mean, it becomes an oil lamp as it burns. So think of that and make the transition to pure oil lamps, and you'll understand them a lot better, and you'll get why we use them. The biggest advantage they have over anything else is you can refill them while they are burning. So while you're burning a kerosene lamp or an olive oil lamp or a castor oil, whatever it is you're burning, while you're burning it, you can, most of them will have some sort of a reservoir or some sort of a little space. The wick is not going to be filling that whole top, and you can keep on pouring in more oil. But the wick, instead of being fixed in the bottom, like in the candle, usually just curls around, and you just pull it up, and there's like a little burner or jam place. Like if you look at Dr. E's little oil lamp that he designed inside of a mason jar, there's a little lid, and you cut a little slit on the lid, and you just jam it up there, and you can just take that off and put in more oil and keep going. That means you have a perpetual light, and that's what I think what you're talking about, Ollie, when you say keep it going. And what you meant, Ms. Melody, when you said you keep the heat on them, it's continual. And that is something you cannot do with candles unless you're always there to light one candle from the next. Now, many people do light one candle from the next, and that's fine. But there's something about an oil lamp that's really good. I also want to give another little comment, which is on working with a kerosene lamp. Kerosene lamps have a certain style. They have a little screw-on burner at the top, and you can hang things from a string that you put a little string around that shoulder. It's called the shoulder of the reservoir, and you can put a string around it, and then you hang things off of it. You can hang petitions off of it. You can hang lucky things. He made one 1 year, which we raffled off here at the Hoodoo Festivals. He put my guess it had a rabbit's foot on it, and it had some roots on it that were hung on it. It had coins. It had all kinds of little things hanging from it. And so that lamp was itself prepared, and it was just beautiful the way he made it. And Leah Rivera also does these where she will put people's petitions under the lamp. Miss Michael does this too. It's a very easy way if you are a practitioner running a service for people. Instead of lighting candles, you have an oil lamp that you go with, and it just goes. You can put people's names and petitions under that lamp. It doesn't cost you nothing extra. It's a free service you can offer to people, and many people do put their names under the oil lamp or hang the petitions from strings that go around the shoulder of the oil lamp.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that someone had said about the smell. Now, instead of, you can use paraffin oil, and there's no smell with that. It is rather expensive compared to the regular oil lamp. But
yeah. But I just got to say something. You're from the South, so when you say regular oil lamp, what you mean is what on the East Coast and the West Coast people call kerosene. And I'm just saying, when I lived in the South, that's an oil lamp. And people go, huh? But it's kerosene oil, and then there's paraffin oil. And what she's saying mm-hmm. is absolutely correct. And some people, paraffin oil is sometimes called lamp oil. It does mm-hmm. sell for more, but it's not as much as buying a whole bunch of candles. It's okay.
No, it's not. It's not. So if you can't stand the smell, use the paraffin.
Right.
And, of course, we call them Earl lamps.
Earl lamps, that's right. E-R-L, Earl lamps. All right. Well, I hope we've opened some eyes to a beautiful part of hoodoo and conjure. It's a area of work that every once in a while I think people are going to forget about this and they're going to go all into their candles. But there's always people who get introduced to the oil lamps and love them and really understand the methodology and the meaning behind them. And remember, we do talk about permanent ones and antique ones and beautiful containers, but you can also, like I said, you can make them in a fruit. Other people here have said that. Make it in a little, an apple, make it in a clementine. You can make them just as temporary as a candle. In other words, you can make an oil lamp in a twist of aluminum foil. Okay? It can be done, trust me, and I've done it. And that. So the thing is, just because it's an oil lamp doesn't mean it has to be a permanent thing. It doesn't mean it has to be temporary. It can be any way you want to, okay? And you can use cooking oil, of course. That's just what you do. All right. Now, we're running a little late here, but that's just a fascinating topic, and I'm sorry we ran over. But now we're going to take some calls from some callers. So let's turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Countryman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Melody, will be right back. We'll be taking your calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are select from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via the phone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1. Let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now, it's time to go to the phones and take our first call, which is area code 587. This is Spirit Lady from Calgary, Canada. Spirit Lady, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Now, I am just taking a look at your questionnaire here. I see that you've never been on the show before, but you've said yes, you had a reading with Ms. Kat or Contraband Ali. It wasn't specified there.
Yeah, that's Ms. Kat.
But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And she writes, I saved someone's life 6 years ago of addiction, and he is clean now. We live in different towns. We were talking at least 10 times a day, then got into a fight, and he said,
I don't want to be with you anymore, and I'm not attracted to you anymore. He won't talk to me and tell me what happened. Turn it over to you.
All right. I'm sorry to hear that. And in a way, you're responsible for him being alive today. And this is, I'm going to talk about this for a moment just socially. Many times when people go through a major reworking of their life, they use someone to be their guide to get through it, and on the other side, they drop that person. That may be part of what's happening. It also may be that they go back and aren't as clean and sober as they thought they were, right, or as you think they are. So let's take a look at what we see, because sometimes changing back to an old way will make a person embarrassed to be around you. The third possibility is that there was a, just the fight was just too much for him. All right, so we have three different choices here. All right, so I'm going to throw down three cards, and we're going to take a look and see what we see. The first card I have here is called the Page of Cups. This is a young person out by the water, by the ocean, and they're holding a golden cup, and in the cup there is a fish, and they're talking to the fish. This can stand for spiritual communication, communication in which the two people are not in each other's presence. The fish usually represents a woman, but it can be any kind of a communication in which one person is kind of kept at all times present, but yet doesn't live on the same plane. So the two of you are separated. This card kind of goes to that. It goes to the idea of distances. I'd like to ask a question at this point. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Capricorn. He's a Pisces.
Pisces. All right. So this is him. See? Page of Cups, right?
And there is a big age difference.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's younger than you.
Yes, he is.
Okay. So with this card, we nailed him right here. Young man.
Right.
Yeah, talking to a fish in a cup. I get that. All right. Now, this situation says to me that you may have difficulty being seen by him as a co-equal or being on the same plane with him at this time. The next card is a card that tells me what's going on here. There may be other issues in his life. I'm not going to say that he has messed up again or something like that, but there's something that's going on in his life that has caused him to totally send you away. And this card is called the Six of Swords, and this is a man who is rowing a woman across a river and says, okay, I'm taking you to the other side. Now, your interest in him was strictly to help him and be loving to him, but it was not. In other words, you kind of were the generous, open one here, and he needed you, right?
Right, but we did become lovers, and we were living together for a while, and then I got him into addiction place, and he's still clean.
Right.
He's still there.
Mm-hmm. Good, okay. Well, I'm seeing here that he does want to send you away, and it's sad because the way he's doing this is sorrowful to you, and I guess what I'm saying here is that he may have some embarrassment about where he's been, but I'm looking for the third card to be kind of my outcome card. Will you be able to get back into his life again? And the third card is a card that tells me it may take some work on your part, and it may take it's not going to be easy to get him back into your life. And I wish I could say, wow, this is going to be perfect, but it's not.
Right.
There are some things going on here in this situation to me that indicate the interference of other people into his life. And this is a card that can be, it's called the Four of Cups, and this is a card that can be a card of refusal, where he may be sitting under this tree like this man in the card, kind of raggedy, but he says, and a beautiful cup is offered to him from a cloud. Now, this calls back to that card, the Page of Cups. The hand comes out of a cloud like a mysterious spiritual experience, offers him the golden cup of the heart of love, and he shakes his head no. In front of him are three other cups. There are two ways to interpret this. One is that there are three other people distracting him. In other words, he's looking at other women. He's looking at other friendships. He's looking at other things. The other way of looking at it is you may make that offer three times, and on the fourth time, if he says no, it's not going to happen. Because what I'm seeing here is a kind of renunciation on his part. Even though you were important to him in the past, he's got a kind of a stubbornness. He's got his arms folded across his chest, and he's shaking his head, no, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
So you're up against a difficult situation. I cannot say that he would come back and love you again without some magical help, because these cards show that it's going to be tough. So let's turn it over to Ms. Melanie and see how she reads the situation, and then Conjure Man Ollie will give us some root work to try to break through this blockade, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi, how are you?
Just fine.
Great. As Ms. Kat was reading, I am a clairvoyant, so therefore I hear, see, and I feel. So I was scribing, and sometimes I do that in readings, whereas, you know, you tell your story, and then as I hear things, I'll write them down, okay?
Right.
So what I was hearing is that he sees you more as a mother figure,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
You know, which is what, you know, Ms. Kat was saying. And he is embarrassed about something, okay? And
mm-hmm.
what I heard was that he did fall off the wagon. Now,
mm-hmm.
okay, Ms. Kat was talking about in the Four of Cups, you know, seeing other women, you know, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But he has met someone in this addiction group, okay? They have a lot in common.
Right.
But I do want to say this, and I keep hearing this very strongly, that when he fell off the wagon, he fell off the wagon with someone in the group who knew a dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or someone who could acquire what he needed. All
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now he and this woman have this secret together. You
right.
know, that, and in their mind, they seem to think that they don't get it, in other words. They don't get it that, you know, once you're an addict, you're always an addict, and you can never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
They have this thing going on that they can sneak off and do it, and nobody will know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's kind of what you're up against, all right, is the and
mm-hmm.
that's the embarrassment part on his part. He can't
right.
go off and – so, in other words, he chose his – sneaking off and doing drugs instead of the person who saved his life, which is
right.
really crappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see what Conjure Man Ollie says, because we're both seeing that there is something going on behind the scenes here that's not obvious, and it's not about the fight you had, all right?
Right.
So let's see if Conjure Man Ollie can come up with something that's going to see if we can break through this and you know, what's up, okay?
Okay.
You know what I would recommend in a situation like this, and I think it would be ideal for what you're going through, is some type of sweeping
mm-hmm.
work. We've done a variety of different types of reconciliation cases on the radio show, but I think with this, just good old-fashioned sweetening work is going to be ideal. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do what I call hot and cold sweetening work. So this is going to involve a honey jar. And what I want you to do is I want you to take a photo of you two together, ideally one, you know, that has is a very associated with a very strong memory, something that will trigger in his mind, you know, good times between the two of you. And this is important. A lot of people just pick any old photo. I am a big believer of, no, the photo has to be associated with some type of real memory. And I say this because in today's photo-happy world, we take pictures of everything, right? Sometimes photos lose their meaning. So you want to really pick something that sticks out, where, you know, you were celebrating something together, a memory that will mean something to them. And you're going to put in there, deer's tongue to get him to speak to you and get him to be honest with you. You're going to put bombs of Gilead, one for you, one for him, to heal the hurt violet leaves to restore the love between the two of you, rose petals, a little bit of cinnamon to attract him back to you. You know, he says he's no longer attracted to you, or he's no longer into you. Cinnamon can kind of restore that, as well as a vanilla bean sock, you know, a little vanilla bean. You're going to wrap that up in there.
Right.
And you're going to fold that up, and you're going to put that into a jar of honey. Make sure that your fingers touch the honey, and as you lift your fingers out, you're going to lick the honey and go, as this honey is sweet, so it will be sweet to me. And you're going to pray your prayer into the jar, and you're going to close it shut. Now, what I mean by working hot and cold, there's two different ways of doing this. First, you're going to, there's two different things you have to actually do. First, you're going to start off by lighting candles on it for about a week, straight. Use white candles or pink candles with reconciliation on. You're going to carve your names or inscribe your names onto the candle, dress it with the reconciliation oil, and light the candle directly on the honey jar. This is what I call cold work. You know, the candle is hot, but the honey is just static there. You're going to do that for a week, and every night you're going to do this while he's sleeping. You're going to call out his name three times, and if you have a photo of him, try to set it up so that it's behind the honey jar, and you're going to look through the flame at his actual photo and call out his name over and over again until you actually see a visible change in the flame, in the photo, or you feel his presence responding back. And then you're going to speak to him. You're going to tell him, look, we have a long history together. I've been there for you. You need to come back. You to return to me. I am your friend. I'm the person who's willing to help you and be the partner you need in life. Tell him all the things he needs to hear, lovingly, sweetly. Now, on the second week, what I want you to do is I want you to take that honey jar, now that you've worked it in this fashion, and you're going to place it into a double boiler. Now, another thing you can do is you can take a pot of water, put a thick towel, you know, a dish towel of some sort on the bottom, fill it up with some water, put your honey jar in there, and slowly bring the water to heat. Now, you don't want to overboil honey, right? But you want to heat up the jar and heat up the honey. And this is to put a little bit of an edge to the work that you're doing, to put a little bit of a poke and say, hey, get over here. Because you are competing with other factors. Whenever there's that four of cups, to me that's saying, he's saying no, 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 because he doesn't see the value in the cup that's being presented to him. And because he's being distracted. So in order to really get his attention, you need to give it a little bit of a poke, and that's what this heating up do. And you're going to pray over it the entire time that water is heating up that honey, and you're going to alternate every week between the two of them. I would recommend doing this every single day until you get some type of response from them, until things have been mended, and then you can return doing it. Then you can, you know, scale it back to doing it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or just Friday. But until you get a really good response out of him, do it every single day, alternating between candles 1 week and then heating up the honey the next week, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And I wish you all the luck, hon. I mean, I know there's things going on here that, you know, I'm going to just tell you one more piece of advice. Try this. Don't give up yet, but it's going to be tough going. And the advice that Ollie gave is a way to break through something by moving one way, then, you know, like hot and cold, like he said. That's a good way to work when you have a stubborn situation. All right?
Right. Okay.
And I wish you
all
the best. All right. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so let's turn it over to Papa Newt, and he's going to get us another caller in here.
Thank you, Miss Kat. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oils, sachet powders, and incense, crystal salts for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters, and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folkloric talismans and amulets and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now let's turn to our next caller who has signed up at the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Our next caller is calling from St. Louis, area code 314. Christina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Christina. Welcome to the show. Let me give a brief information that you've from your form here. I do see that you've never been on the show, never had a reading with Ms. Kat or Contraband Ali, but I do see that you have been with another reader known as Master Psychic Rachel last night on The Situation, I take it?
Yes.
All right. And it's a very brief description, so it is. I'm taking this big test on Thursday and want to know how I will do. Giving it back to you
actually,
guys.
I'm actually taking it on Friday.
Friday. Okay,
oh,
Friday.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a good one for Contraband Ali, because Contraband Ali comes out of the world of academics and testing. Take it away, Ali.
I do. If you don't mind me asking real quickly, what type of test is this?
It's kind of like the MCAT, but it's for dental school.
Ah, for dental school. Okay, that's all I needed to know, that it was a type of standardized test, you know, versus like a trade school or something like that. I'm looking at my ring while Papa Newt was talking, and what I have here, it's a carnelian ring which has a djinn that I use to scry with. And it's showing me several different images here. It is showing me you taking the test, and it's showing me light around you, and it's showing me that that's very good, that you are going to feel good as you take the test. But I see following afterwards a torn paper, and this is a very clear indication that this test is going to be much more difficult than you realize. This torn paper is actually some type of a barrier. It looks like it's forming some type of row of thorns that you need to pass through, that it is going to be an obstacle that you need to face. I'm assuming that this is going to be very big, and this test is not just any test, but something that is going to impact your career, so, or your future very much so. And right now, while you may feel good taking the test, like while you're there, once you sit down, there'll be a sigh of relief. Afterwards, it doesn't look like it's the results may be what you want. So there is a bit of an obstacle along the way. Now, that doesn't mean that you are kind of doomed to fail this test, just that you need to be doing some work beforehand, up until the very single day, you know, the exact day that you're actually going to take the test, and you might consider taking something with you. Given that I see this kind of wall of thorns here, you might consider taking something literally with you to the test to cut through those thorns, and we can recommend some things later on. But right now, based on what I'm seeing in my ring, I don't see success at this point in time. While you may get a sense of relief right after the test or right while you're taking the test, the results may be less than what you hoped for, and it will actually become a bit of a barrier. And it's going to be a struggle to go back, whether you'll be able to retake it, study for it again. And every single time, the thorns are going to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more difficult. So your esteem and your confidence will be taken hit from this. So what's needed is you're going to need tools to break through this struggle, to break through this barrier. And I think that you can absolutely be successful once you get a little bit of help. But right now, as things are, it is an obstacle ahead of you. So let's turn this over to my colleagues and see what they see in regards to the situation. But for me, right now, you're going to need some magic in order to be successful.
Okay. I just have to say, it's interesting that it's dental, because Ms. Melanie has had a whole career in the dental field. So she's going to be, this is, you hit the right people. Ali, who comes out of the academic world and testing, and Ms. Melanie, who does dental. I don't know what I'm doing here. I just got my teeth cleaned. I guess that's... No, I did. I'm not kidding. I just got my teeth cleaned on Friday. I have a lovely hygienist. All right. I'm seeing something similar here to what Ali saw. Maybe not as scary, but it's the same kind of thing. I got a one card drawn. It's the Hanged Man. Hanged Man is a person who's hung upside down, is mental on your part. It's this may not be as easy as you hoped it would be, or you may be a little more, you may need a little help. The Hanged Man is a man, we always say, he's hung by his foot. He's not hung by his neck. He's not being lynched. But he is hung by his foot upside down.
Mm-hmm.
He has a halo around his head, means he's innocent. He's done everything the right way, but there's a little bit of a hang-up here. You're going to need a little bit of help. The next card is the Knight of Wands. This is a helper knight, and literally when you put the two cards together, it looks like this knight is going to come and help cut down the hangman. He's going to help him. That's exactly what he's going to do. So you do have the potential to be helped out here, and that's good. The helper who comes to your rescue is somebody who, you know, really has, you know, it's just that's their what they want to do. They want to help other people. And the third card is the Eight of Pentacles, and this is a person who is steadily working, making one golden coin after another, just with a hammer and chisel, just working away. If something doesn't work out, he kicks it under the bench and he goes on to make the next one. So what I'm seeing here is that if taking it this time doesn't work, you just don't let that stop you. Just keep on going. Now, I want to turn this right over to Miss Melanie because she's had to have taken this test, right, Miss Melanie?
Something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you know what I am talking about.
Oh, yeah, I cried before, during, and after. It was 8 hours. So it was with a 30-minute break in between the 4 hours. I do want you to, I mean, you know, this is experience. Be prepared with your chemistry, your physics, your calculus. Biochemistry, big part of it. I want to give you a simplified version of the great and late Dr. E gave me one time for some success. He gave me a great spell to do with a purple candle. He did, actually I used as a purple skull, but if you can't get your hands on a purple skull candle, then, you know, you can use a regular purple candle. Now, on this purple candle, you're going to write your dental boards. You're going to write, I will pass my dental boards, okay? And you're going to write that, you know, coming in towards you because you want to receive that. Now, around this, you're going to put in a candle holder. And around this, you're going to place pieces of bay leaf, four bay leaves, one going to the north, one to the south, one to the east, and one to the west. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to cover every aspect of, you know, every way it's going. You're going to put, I was in my train of thought, sorry, because I'm thinking about boards. You're going to cover it in Crown of Success oil, and then you're going to mix together some sage for wisdom, some five-finger grass for, you know, success in everything that you do, some cinnamon for help, some Queen Elizabeth root for female power, and also some Solomon's seal root. For you to have the insight and the focus. This is a very long test. Don't second guess yourself. So you do all that, and you write on your petition. I also suggest that you pray the 3-day miracle prayer to the Holy Spirit. This is a great prayer. I've seen great results with it. You say the prayer, and then you make your statement of what you want. Why, you know, you do this while you burn the candle. I love this prayer. I love it. It says, Holy Spirit, you make me see everything and show me the way to reach my ideas. You gave me the divine gift to forgive all the wrong that was done to me and you who are in all instances in my life. I want to thank you for everything and confirm with you once more. I never want to be separated from you, no matter how great the material desire may be. I want to be with you and my loved ones in your perpetual glory. Amen. Then you make your request that you want to pass the dental boards. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful
prayer.
I'm going to say something, too, is that you can also, because I had that card with the knight on it, you can also hire someone to be burning a candle or an oil lamp for you while you're in the test room. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to advertise her services, but the person who's right here, Ms. Melanie, she had to pass that test to get to be where she is in the dental field, right? Now, wouldn't you like to have a root doctor who is also board certified to be a dental hygienist or assistant or whatever she does, right? I mean, you could not expect to call a radio show and say, well, yes, and I, in fact, you know, right? No, that's perfect. And so get with her, go to her, you can find her through AIR or through Hoodoo Psychics, and find out what she would charge you, and it's not going to be a lot, right, Ms. Melanie?
No, no.
To be burning an oil lamp for you, that test, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll do it for free.
You know,
I'll do it for
what
free.
I would recommend in
oh,
addition
she'll do it for free.
Oh, that's
oh, my God,
cool.
Is there a dentist in the house? Who got that? Now, that prayer you gave, Ms. Melanie, that prayer that you gave, is that available online? You spoke it so well, but is there some place where it is published?
I usually have people, I usually give them a web address, but I think it's on the Catholic.org.
Okay.
If you look up Holy Prayer, see, three-day miracle prayer to the Holy Trinity.
Okay, three-day miracle prayer to the Holy Trinity. All right. We'll try to get a copy of that available to people, too. You should put that on your website, honey. I mean, prayers aren't copyright.
That's true.
What I would recommend, in addition to all the great recommendations that were given out here, whenever you're doing some type of, whenever you're facing any type of situation where you're trying to break into something, where you're trying to kind of take that next step in your career, I really enjoy working with keys and sugar. If you were to do a sugar bowl, you write your intention in your prayer and you place it at the bottom of a bowl of sugar and then place a skeleton key in there that you turn every single day. Today is Sunday. It's an excellent day for success. So start that today. And you turn it every single day to unlock the door to the career you want to go to unlock the success of passing this test. You can do that every single day. And then on the last day, Thursday night, take that key out, dress it with some Crown of Success oil, and carry it in your pocket when you go and take the test. It'll be your personal talisman. And that can help assist to kind of break through the barrier while you're taking the test. Because I see that having something with you while you're taking the test is going to be very, very helpful in this situation, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Papa Newt has put up a couple of prayers or Lucky Mojo has. I don't know, everybody. Ms. Melanie has too. Okay, everybody's got it. Okay, it's up there. Ms. Melanie posted it. Holy Spirit, three-day miracle prayer. Thank you, Ms. Melanie. Okay. And so we got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll be praying for you. Even if you don't contact me, I'll be praying for you because I know how tough this is. But I truly feel you're going to do very well on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, this is what the card showed. You need someone. Mm-hmm. You're a little hung up, but you need someone in your corner who's literally praying and upholding you in prayer during the course of this test, and you'll do a whole lot better, and we'll see if we get you through this thing. All right? Okay, thank you so much. Good luck to you, baby. We, you got a good career ahead of you. You just carry this thing forward. Thank you.
Just remember,
so much,
be good to your hygienist.
Okay, be good to your hygienist. I love my hygienist. She's the sweetest lady. I do. I wouldn't have the teeth I have if it wasn't for my hygienist. I know the truth. All righty, let's turn this over again to Papa Newt, and we'll take another call.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by phone or listen to the archives, podcasts in iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press 1 to let us know that you'll be available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you'll get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Contraman Ali of ContramanAli.com, and this week's special guest, Miss Melanie of the Candle and Curio Shop. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. I don't have my notes here. I'm sorry, hun. .com. And you can listen every week by 3 p.m. Pacific or 6 p.m. Eastern time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour. And let's take our next caller, who is calling from area code 201 in New Jersey. This is Lovett. Lovett, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy.
Welcome. All right. Now, I'm taking a look at your on the forum here, and I don't see you've had any calls or any readings with Ms. Kat or Contra Lee on the situation or any other readers. And you're right. Things never seem to be going the way I want them to go, and I don't know why. I want clarity and understanding on these issues. Turning it over to you.
All right. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. Your readers are going to be Ms. Melanie and Ollie, but I just want to clarify because that was a very brief question. Let me ask how old you are.
I'm 32.
32. So things should have gone your way by about now. I mean, if you were 16, honey, and asked that same question, see, we'd have a different view of your life. But now you've been, in other words, things should have gone your way by now. Now, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Scorpio.
Scorpio. Well, Scorpios also, things should have gone your way because Scorpios are strong. Okay?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
That's all right. So now, knowing that you're a Scorpio and that you've got some blockages and you want some clarity and understanding on why things are not going your way, I'm going to ask you one more question. When you say things, is it everything? Is it love? Is it money? Is it health? Is it friendships, career, or is it everything?
More so love, friendships. I'm having issues with family. Somehow, whenever I'm in a relationship, doesn't matter if it's friendship or otherwise, it doesn't last long. Everything goes well. It will last for months to years, and then afterwards, for some reason, the next step doesn't happen. I don't know why. Even with friendships, family is kind of not too good.
I'm
not too happy
you.
With my career, a lot of things.
All right. Well, bless you for using the screen name Lovett because it shows you still have a positive outlook on life even despite the disappointments.
Lovett is actually my real first name.
Oh, your name is Lovett? Oh,
Lovett, L-O-V-E-T, Lovett, yes.
Lovett, oh, wow,
yes.
Lovett. That is
yes.
your name. Well, somebody
yes.
loved you to give you that name, sweetheart. Oh, that's a beautiful name. We're going to make that
Thank
name
you.
Reality for you then.
All I
right.
hope so.
Let's, mm-hmm. let's turn this over to Ms. Melanie, and she's going to read on what has gone wrong.
Just out of curiosity, do you have a little bit of a temper?
A little bit. I think everybody does, no? A little bit.
maybe a little bit more than others. The card I'm getting here is the Seven of Swords, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the card of trickery. So this is telling me something's been done,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it was whoever this person that did this to you, is showing up as the Queen of Pentacles, which, this is a person who makes you feel would make you feel very uncomfortable. Someone who is that doesn't like for you to be yourself. They're on to you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who would that be?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Not quite sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm listening here.
Okay.
Please. Okay. It's an older lady, all right? So we're going for an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
Older lady. I hear glasses.
Alive? I don't know. Glasses. Who doesn't want best for me?
Right, he doesn't want the best for you. Family friend who's a busybody? Potter?
not certain. I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not aware of this person.
May not be.
Yeah.
You can think about it, and but whatever it is, she's done something.
Okay.
Mm.
In a spiritual sense, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's.
Okay.
I don't think she meant to. I think it was more of an evil eye. Even maybe like a friend's mother that may have been jealous.
Okay.
Of you.
Hmm.
Or that. I feel that it's an older lady, and it's a friend of a family. It's a friend. She's a pot stirrer. She talks a lot. She gossips a lot.
Do you know her ethnicity? Does it show at all? Could it be my immediate family, or could it be like a extended family that she knows, or generations back?
She is dark. Dark skin.
Okay.
Glasses, curly hair. No, she's a pot stirrer though, or she was.
Okay.
But it was more of an evil eye than anything else that happened. Intentional. She doesn't do like root work or anything like that, and she didn't hire anyone to do anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of an evil eye type of thing that she put more energy into it than what she probably intended on doing. But this is an older lady. You can think about and research that a little bit and see who that is. You know, ask around and see who that is. But, you know, so it is an older lady.
And it's not a relative. It's definitely just a friend of a family.
It's a family friend. And she's a pot stirrer, gossiper, name it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do my research, but nothing is, you know, formulating in my mind. Okay, thank you.
We'll turn this over to Conjure Man Ali and see what he gets.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for that, Melanie. What I've done is I've constructed a geomantic chart to take a look at what's going on in your situation, and there's a variety of different things that I see here. You know, the evil eye definitely comes up in this as well. We have the 12th house, which is the house of blocks, restrictions, and all the unpleasant things in life. We have Cauda Draconis, which is the tail of the dragon, and this is usually associated with the end of things as well as with the evil eye and a deliberate restriction of some sort that's been placed on you. So this confirms what Miss Melanie was saying, that, yeah, this is some form of evil eye, envy thing. You know, this person doesn't seem like they wish you ill deliberately. It may be more along the lines of, you know, they think that they know what you should be doing. You know, oh, that person isn't really her friend. She shouldn't be hanging out with so-and-so, that type of thing. So Cauda Draconis is a very clear indication that this is very much a evil eye situation. But there's also, you know, that's already been covered. What I also want to recommend that you do is consider looking at getting your chart read, an astrological chart, because I am sensing that there is some type of affliction there, some type of complication within your chart. Looking into the first house, which kind of sets the tone, we have conjunctio. Conjunctio is about joining things together, it's about union. But actually also does talk about a mixture of forces that are working on your life. Conjunctio speaks about, you know, you've got this evil eye going on in the background, you have also the crossroads of your life that's coming up. So this situation may actually be more than just, you know, oh, I have to remove some evil eye, then things are going to get better. But it seems like it's part of your path to be dealing with these difficulties, to be dealing with these obstacles, that your life isn't, and I wouldn't say destined to be hard, but rather that you have hardships in your life that are supposed to be, at this point in time, appearing, and it's meant to be dealt with. If you look at your astrological chart, it'll help clarify some of these different things that are going on, and how to deal with that more than anything. You might need to look into some astrological remediation. But whenever conjunctio comes up in the first house, it really does tell us that there is a mixture of forces, a conjunction of forces that are playing out in your life that are causing these complications. So Miss Melanie is absolutely dead on. You know, there is definitely an evil eye working there. But removing that evil eye isn't going to turn around this situation. It's only going to address one aspect of it. You then really have to look at kind of the astrological chart, which in my mind is a great way of kind of looking at destiny or your life trajectory and dealing with the different factors that are going on there, looking at astrological remediation. Deacon Millett of the Fair is one of the best at this type of work at astrological remediation. He can take a look at your chart and see what's going on and then give you recommendations based off of that. I can tell you that even if you were not to do the astrological remediation, things will improve. Looking at the kind of future, the left witness, we have Caput Draconis, which is the head of the dragon. So that's an improvement on Caudus Draconis, but that's a long ways away. That's going to be years down the line. Whereas if you were to get astrological remediation or to get something going right now, you can turn that around, you know, in a short period of time. If you do nothing, things will improve for you, but not for a while. Okay, so it's all about speeding up that recovery process. What you're going through right now is a combination of things in your life, kind of meant to be that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can change it with some remedial work. Okay, and I'm going to turn this over to Kat to see what she would recommend in a situation like yours. All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All righty. So, hon, what we've seen here is two different factors. One is that we could almost say that you were born under a bad sign in some way. That's what he's talking about, Ali is mentioning. And these can be things like retrograde planets, squares, T-crosses, grand crosses on your chart. If you go see Deacon Millett, he is really, really good at looking at those. There are other astrologers in air as well. I believe Professor Ames is an astrologer and so forth. But Deacon Millett is very specialized in what we call astrological remediation, in which he will look at things and see. And what Ali meant by time is that eventually these alignments that you were born with will kind of move out of position and the whole thing will fall apart and whatever that locked you into a series of bad luck situations will break. It always happens. Very few people will have an entire run of their life like that. That's number one. Number two, what Ms. Melanie saw an evil eye. That is someone's jealousy. That is someone who did not have your best intentions at heart, who either envied your family for having you, so it can go back even to when your mother was pregnant with you, and it can be just a little cloud on you. But there are ways of taking that off that involve protection. Now, I'm going to talk about cleaning because what I see here is you are under a cloud. This is not a joke, and when you say there's something happening here, it isn't just like, wow, I'm going to burn a little white candle and everything's going to be better. You are under a cloud, and I want to see you live up to that beautiful name that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like you to do is start with some spiritual cleansing of yourself and your body and some affirmative prayers. We're going to start you off with that. You may want to work with a counselor, a spiritual worker, but I don't want you to go to somebody that makes you dependent and have you spending $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $12,000, $30,000. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about someone who will do maintenance work for you on a regular basis and help you address some of these issues. They can all be addressed separately and they can be addressed together. So let's start with cleaning your house with Chinese wash, and you can also use a capful of that to bathe with. You can make your own spiritual bath. You can buy some of the spiritual baths that are very good for changing conditions. Chinese wash is used to cleanse the house. Just you put some of it a bit in your mop water, your scrub water. Van Van oil, Van Van bath crystals, any one of those can be added to the bath. And Chinese wash and Van Van are very similar. Some people just use a little bit of Chinese wash in a bathtub full of water. But you can add a few other things to it. Some of the things that I would think is clarity, because you want to be able to see clearly what's ahead of you. You want to see your path forward, and you can make a custom mix of some of these, bath crystals. Another thing you could do if you would like to go real old school is use a 13-herb bath. Now, those are herbs, and you have to boil them up. When you boil them up in water, you strain them off, and you have what's called bath tea. Now, you're not going to be drinking it, but it is an herbal bath, and then you mix that in with some more water. Don't use it straight. It's way too strong, but you're going to dilute it, and you can make a number of baths out of that, store the concentrate in the refrigerator for a little while, and then use that. Some people like the old-school 13-herb bath. Some people like uncrossing bath crystals, which has some of the same ingredients, but not all 13 of them. And uncrossing bath is something you can take. Now, you can make and mix these up. I wish this book I'm editing, Aurel LaForest book, is all about how to mix and match these things. But a little uncrossing, a little Chinese wash, a little Van, a little 13-herb bath, that is to cleanse yourself up. But when you want to do that, you want to follow it with some drawing baths to draw in lock. Don't just be concerned with taking off the trouble. We want to get you to the point where you can bring in love, and you're going to take some love baths, new love, draw a new love. You're going to take in some baths to draw in career success. And you're a Scorpio. You're tough. And I know one thing about Scorpios. They are like an iceberg. They're called fixed water. Water is usually liquid. But in order to do fixed water, the only way you can fix water is to freeze it. And Scorpios, I say they're like an iceberg. They're 9/10 below the surface. So there's a lot going on in your life that we don't know about, and you'll probably never tell anybody. But we want to make it so that you have a place where you can be, where you can meet friends, keep friends, and find the love that you need and deserve. So I want to start you off with some cleansing, and then I want you maybe to call us back in about 3 to 6 months and see if you made some progress. And then we're going to have you ask some questions about some specific goals that you have, like are you looking for a new love? Are you looking to advance in your career and get more money? Are you looking for just better friendships, just to have somebody to hang out with? But first of all, we've got to get you cleaned up and cleared up and get you on a positive track. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
All right. And I do believe that the 23rd Psalm, Lord is my shepherd, is always a good one. Many people use that. Okay?
Right. And I have a couple of comments and a couple of questions. It won't be long. I also make mention that I'm reading the updates on Blog Talk Radio, and I want to thank everybody for inputting and giving some feedback. My name on Lucky Mojo Forum is God Above All, if anyone wants to reach me. I've also did speak to some readers, but not in the Lucky Mojo or AIRR network, and they've told me that I had like a spiritual husband, but I wanted to get clarity and more information by speaking with you guys.
Tell you what, you call me back, and then we ask that question at a different time. Okay?
Okay.
We're out of time now about spiritual husbands, but I'm not sure. We'll find out. Okay.
Okay.
We'll do that another time. All right. Well, good luck to you, sweetheart. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Now we're going to go right to our free spell. So let's turn this over to Papa New. Ms. Melanie is going to give us a free spell.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. We have about 7 minutes left in the show, so the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour is hosted each week by Conjurman Ali and Ms. Catherine Ironwood. Turning it back over to you, Ms. Melanie.
So our free spell of the week is, of course, going to be an oil lamp spell, but it's going to be directed towards Mercury retrograde. Since we are in that, almost at the end, thank goodness, this is, you would first take your oil lamp, and you're going to cleanse it, because even if it's an old one, you don't know who's touched it, you don't know what's on it, you don't really know where it came from. I usually use Chinese wash to do that, or you can also use ammonia to wipe it down. Of course, wipe it away from you because you want it to go away. Now, we're going to use some herbs associated with mercury. We're going to use lemongrass and dill, and these are for good luck. Fern and salt for protection, and this keeps off the negativity. Deer's tongue to keep the communication flowing good, not to get misunderstood during this time. And Solomon's seal for wisdom, to notice when, there's a misunderstanding and that it is bad communication. Some curios you're going to put in there is a rabbit's foot dressed with some Van oil for luck. And, of course, a mercury dime because we want to keep that money flowing, because lots of things happen during, crazy things happen during Mercury retrograde. The oils to put in your lamp, along with your lamp oil, I would use mercury oil, a road opener oil, Van oil, and also St. Peter's oil to keep that going. Now, you can either put your petition in the lamp or under the lamp. I put mine in. So your petition may say something like, Father in Heaven, send St. Peter to aid in keeping all communication running smoothly during this period of time, and you're going to put the date of retrograde in there. And then you can put, this is, and then your name, my will, and shall come to pass. Amen. Because in the Bible, you know, it says, I was taught that you ask a question, flip three times, and when in the Bible, if you find it and it says it shall come to pass, it's going to happen. So in your petition, by putting it shall come to pass, it's going to happen. So you can start this on a Wednesday, because, you know, Wednesday is day of Mercury, or you can start it on a Sunday, because Sunday is a day of blessings. Sunday's a day good, you know, good for all positive things. Also, something good to pray is Psalm 65 for road opening. This will help, you know, you burn it the whole time through the whole Mercury retrograde, start to finish, and this will, and it'll, I tell you, it'll help you get through it.
Wow.
It's a hot mess. Mercury, that's
a beautiful, very, very, very beautiful spell. Wow. And Psalm 65, that's so good. And I just, as a shout out to, I don't know how to pronounce your name, but it's RGAR2347, Rabbit's Foot. You can buy them at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. And you're going to burn this, and I want to thank K.S. Witten also for writing down some of this. You burn this through the entire Mercury retrograde time period, and that will keep you going for that entire time. That's a beautiful spell. Well, here comes our music. Let's turn it over to Papa Newt and take us on out.
Thank you, Miss Kat, and thank you, Contraman Ali, and thank you, Miss Melanie, for being our guest this week. We invite you each week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Professor Ames of Skull Bone Emporium in Fort Collins, Colorado. Once again, we have come to the end of another Lucky Mojo radio show brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. From all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strands of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt, for filling in for Miss Tammy Lee, and wish her and her mom all the best. And we hope to be seeing you all at the May 3rd and 4th Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And all of you who want to find out more about that, it has its own Facebook page. You can also check in through hoodooheritagefestival.com, and you can buy tickets. Tickets are sale now, and there's a discount if you buy tickets for both days. And we're going to have a lot of good people out there. I want to give a little special shout-out to Charles. He just posted a link in the chat room for a company that sells a ring adapter that you can turn a mason jar into a kerosene lamp, okay? Just go back and look at his link. He posted it. We'll try to maybe carry those at Lucky Mojo. They're real nice things. All right. Well, everybody has been wonderful. This is a great show, and I wanted to thank everybody. We'll be posting some pictures of the railroad soon for all of you railroad freaks. And we'll stick around in the chat room for a little while and talk with people, but then I've got to run. So good night.
Good
bye.
Night.